One man, one mission, to equip the Church of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and awaken the Church to the voice of the Spirit. David Cuppett brings to you the School of the Holy Spirit from one of his many missions from around the world, where he aligns with apostolic leaders to eradicate spiritual blindness and reveal the true authority of believers in Christ, to prophesy, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. Open your heart and get ready to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you in this week's session of the School of the Holy Spirit. School is in session.
All right, well, I won't teach long, but there were some pretty cool things that happened last night with deliverance, mass deliverance. You got to love Jesus the deliverer when he steps in the room, right? People start screaming, demons start coming out. Things that were hidden until the fire comes, right? That's why you don't put your flame under a basket. You burn like a wild one. You weren't born to be normal. Culture will numb you, make you look like an idiot if you're not fitting into them. And you weren't born again to fit into them. You were born again to be supernatural, to burn with a flame that can't be squelched. That's too much Jesus for me. That's too much. That's over the edge. Why are you guys praying in tongues? Because that's the gift. That's the flame. Amen? Come on, man. The Lord is delivering you from a false identity. Come on. Jesus is delivering you from a false identity where you're not afraid anymore to be what Christ said you are. You're burning ones. Your tongue should always be on fire. Right? Come on, say Jesus. I give you my tongue that it would be your fire on the earth. Come on, I'm giving you my whole heart. And I'm giving you permission to pray through me, to be your hand on earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to just quickly talk about a couple things. Surrender and dependence. A lot of people had questions about the deliverance last night, right? Some demons come out really fast. Other ones take a little bit more time. That doesn't mean they're coming out, and that doesn't mean that you don't have authority. But there's aspects of deliverance that I just felt like the Lord, based on the questions and stuff, kind of wanted to amplify. Because there's a deliverance anointing that's been released on you. Okay, you're going to start praying for people. Demons are going to come out of people. That's the way it is. That happens, okay? But if you, with your mind, decide and reason away the need for deliverance or whether it came out immediately or whether it took too long, you actually lose faith in the power of the Holy Ghost to deliver, okay? And the reality is there's a whole bunch of scenarios in the New Testament where Christ... Some demons came out immediately. Other times, the scripture says that when Jesus was doing deliverance on somebody, it says it came out that very hour. Some take more time, okay? And so there's different degrees of what I'll call spiritual slavery. There are different degrees of how deep a generational curse is woven into a family bloodline. There's different degrees of brokenness and... Why is the guy on the street, why doesn't he just get a job? Come on, man, I've heard that in spiritual church all along from really high-level guys in organizations. Oh, yeah, that guy's out there all the time. He can't get a job. Why doesn't he just get a job? If you recognize that he's on that street and he's thinking in a certain way, not because of his own thought, but because of the generational curse, which has controlled his thinking to the degree that he is so hopeless that he has surrendered to the demonic that, I mean, it's not normal for a person to want to stand on a street corner and beg, right? It's just not. Even the guys that are fake, that make money, you've got to have a degree of brokenness in you to stand there with a sign and just try to get money off of people, right? But you as the church have to see through the mercy of God.
Amen. Come on.
You have to see the people of this earth through the mercy of God recognizing that you are in a spiritual battle. You are not in a logical human wisdom place. You are in a spiritual battle, right? Paul said, we don't war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. You are in a war, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think demons are real or not, you are surrounded by the demonic. And you are either having authority over the demonic or you are a victim of the demonic. And the problem with the powerless church is they've shut their eyes to the spirit world and made Jesus about humanism. Okay? And the reality is you are going to spend your life eternally either in the good place or the not so good place. That's a spiritual, those are both spiritual places. And so you have to develop a spiritual sensitivity to how you are to see the world. Okay? And one of the, well, I should say the greatest awakening of your spiritual discernment happens when you surrender to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people try to claim Jesus without the Holy Spirit, and there's actually no such thing. Okay? That's humanism. That's a God they've made instead of a God they've surrendered to. Okay? Amen? And so, the reason, why does Jesus give you the gift of tongues? Actually to surrender to the Spirit, but actually to make you spiritually discerning, right? And when you become spiritually discerning, you start to think like Christ. Jesus didn't stand up and say, the Spirit of God is upon me to make them go get a job at McDonald's. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, right? He's saying the Spirit of God is going to allow me to bring deliverance to those people. Right? He says, I'm going to heal the brokenhearted, bring sight to the blind, set the captive free, and release those who are bound in prison. Right? So if you look at those people as being bound in darkness rather than lazy and not being able to get a job, the mercy of God will begin to flow through you. Say this with me. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I repent.
In every way.
I've judged out of humanism.
And actually condemn people in darkness. I repent, Holy Spirit. And I ask for the mercy of God to come upon me, that I would see through the eyes of mercy. Come on, the Lord is changing hearts in here this weekend. First He does it to you, and then He does it through you. When you get the revelation that He came to you out of mercy and He delivered you, even though your heart was hard, right? You actually can look at the world who has a hardened heart and can't surrender to Christ, and you will go to them and say, I will be your intercessor. I will be the one who stands between you and the dead. I will be the one who reaches and holds on to you and prays for you. I will be that one, right? I will be the one who will go to the lost with the intent to heal the heart, to set the captive free. That means cast out their demons. Those people aren't on that street and going into that methadone clinic because of their self. Those are demons. When I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know what the first 3-4 years of my life was? If you don't recognize what that was.
Do you need some more pastor?
Yeah. That was deliverance. That was my pictorial. You knew what that was, right, Tyler? That was my pictorial. Deliverance, man. I had more deliverance than anybody. Dude, I was the guy laying on the floor, flopping like a fish, demons coming out of me. I was messed up, man. I drank. I could drink a case of beer and still walk home. The curse that was on my bloodline was so deep. My grandfather would drink, he would go on what they old school benders, okay? He'd get his paycheck on Friday. By Sunday night, his paycheck was gone, and he had like 8 bottles of Jim Beam in the back of the car. Don't know how he got home, and when he walked through the door, he'd break kitchen tables, put holes through walls, right? My mom's so afraid that anxiety flowed through her into me and my brothers, right? And by the time I was 36, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was a mess, dude. I hid in the corporate world. People hide in two places. You will either hide in brokenness or you will hide putting on a mask trying to be successful. And I was the guy who hid in, I had more degrees than a thermometer. I think I told you that the other day, right? I have 2 undergraduate degrees. I have a master's degree in engineering and I have an MBA. I climbed the corporate ladder and figured out that in my early 30s that money couldn't solve what was empty in my heart. I was still drinking like a fish, mad as a hornet. And a lot of it had to do with the demonic that was, I didn't know what it was, right? But the reality is deliverance is a real thing. There's actually no such thing as a person that doesn't have the demonic to deal with, especially in the early days of you being awakened to Christianity. And what I do when I go into churches, there's people sit in chairs 10, 15, 20, 30 years in Christian churches, and I'm picking them out and they're having deliverance in the midst of the whole thing. Okay? Why is that? Why does the Lord send me to do that? Because in the awakening of the army of the Lord, deliverance is the first thing that happens. It's baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you start puking out demons. You know why? I told you last night that scripture, John 16:11, one of the three things that the Holy Ghost does when he comes. Jesus said he'll convict the world of sin, convict the world of righteousness, and he'll judge Satan. So when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, Satan starts getting driven out of you. Come on, church. That's why when you surrender to the flame of the Holy Ghost, deliverance, the degree of your deliverance will be connected to the degree of your surrender. And when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I figured out the only place I could get peace was praying in tongues. And there were nights after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I would pray in tongues all night long. 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, Shelly hears a scream or something down in the basement. She comes down, I'm laying on the floor and puke's coming out of my mouth. I had a lot of deliverance, man. You should not be ashamed of deliverance. The church needs deliverance. And I'm here to testify to you that first he does it to you, and then he does it through you. And the degree of which you surrender to the Holy Spirit and let the Lord deliver you, because he'll start picking fights, man. My experience is the Lord will start saying, hey, you know why you started to drink when you were 13? And I used to go to school. I used to go to school drunk, dude. I used to drink a 6-pack or a 12-pack between 6 and 8 a.m. And then I'd by 11 o'clock in the morning, I'd be one of those idiots laying on a table, you know, just slobbered everywhere, and nobody cared. Nobody cared. I was a captain of the football team. I was captain on the basketball team, all right? I had coaches that I was failing. I was failing all kind of classes, and the coaches would come through and make sure I had C's in my report cards to get me through. They thought they were doing me a favor when they should have been doing a completely different thing, right? But the point is, I'm giving you the background because what you see is not what I was. Amen? The Lord, when I surrendered to the Holy Ghost and I would pray in the middle of the night and peace would come. I fell in love with the Holy Spirit. Have you fell in love with the Holy Spirit yet? Do you recognize the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that delivers you? Right? There's a gift and a call on your life. Your gifts will actually manifest very fast, but your call will take time. And your enemy is afraid of your call. Your enemy is afraid of you stepping into the identity that the Father wrote about you. Okay? He's absolutely terrified of you in absolute surrender to the Holy Spirit. He is. He is scared to death. Because a man or a woman who's fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, your identity will be connected in the Holy Spirit and not the perception of people. A lot of you still function with a fear of man. You're afraid what they think. You're afraid what they're going to say. You're afraid of the implications. And all I can tell you, man, I give you story after story. Dave, wake me up at 4 a.m. Hey, Dave, when you go to the chemical plant this morning, this is what I want you to say to the vice president, Jerry. No way, Lord, I can get fired. This is what you're going to say to Jerry this morning. Are you serious, Lord? Sweat's dripping off my forehead. I'm like, I come upstairs, Shelly, I could get fired today. I'm just letting you know I'm doing it. But I'm just giving you a fair warning. He sent me into Jerry's office. True story, by the way. I mean, I've walked into vice president's office in the chemical industry and done all kinds of things. And guys who are like this staunch, you know, multi-million dollar income guys, right? They put on the picture, the persona, high performer, leading, you know, multi-billion dollar companies. And I'm sitting there across the table from them saying, hey, the Lord woke me up last night and he said to tell you this. And they turn pure white. And they quickly, everything is stripped off of them when the Spirit of God pierces their heart. You mean God knows my name? I had a guy tell me once, you mean God knows my name? Yeah, he knows your name. I've gone into high-level guys' office like that, and several months later, they end up preaching in prisons. They start deliverance ministries. It's the way it is, okay? But I'm telling you the background about deliverance because first you surrender to the Holy Ghost, and then he will drive the demonic out of you, okay? As you become humble, realizing you're actually infested. It's the pride of man to think you don't have any critters. I'm serious. Come on, it's pride that you would think. Paul himself said, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Yeah. If Paul was writing about strongholds, do you think the Lord revealed some strongholds in his life? There's no way you get taught that and experience deliverance without having critters. Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost, show me the critters in my life that have been hidden. Show me the critters. Show me every prince, every power, and every ruling spirit that has manipulated me and my family bloodline. I'm humbling myself and asking for deliverance. Come on, make me a spectacle, Holy Ghost. I'm surrendering to your will so that you can bring me deliverance and I can do your will on earth. In Jesus' name. You see, it all begins with your prayer life. And people don't understand the gift of tongues. And we've spent a lot of time in the last 2 days. I don't know. The Lord is on this intercession thing here. And I believe you have to have some understanding of why it's important and a heart that will carry it. Because if not, you'll quit. Right? Charles Finney, ever hear him? Great revivalist in the Northeast part of the United States back in the 1800s. Charles Finney would go into cities. And what they did is they would pray in the Holy Ghost for weeks before they went. And when they would walk into cities, there's stories of drunks falling down at the altar and people coming out of bars and brothels and people coming in and the glory of God would fall in the place. But then he said this, he said, when prayer waned, revival ceased. The revelation of it was that prayer is what birthed the revival. People are sitting around waiting for God to show up, and he does show up. You know, we've had, you know, a couple things in the United States over the past 10 years where just there's a unique presence of God, and people call it revival, and it's a cool thing, but it ends up not being sustained because somebody didn't birth it. It's a grace. Those are grace movements. But revival is a culture. Revival is a mindset of expectation. Yesterday afternoon, I said, I saw the angel of expectation come in the room and he started touching people. Has anybody been touched with a new expectation? Amen. Say, Lord, whatever you gave me yesterday to change my expectation in dependence on the Holy Ghost, I ask you, touch me again. Rip out all the resistance in my heart. Rip out my excuses, and I'll pray for you. Come on, I want to pray day and night and birth revival in Jesus' name. You see, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, the power of praying in the Holy Ghost, it says this, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness, For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with a groaning we don't understand. Right? So all of your excuses have just been eliminated. You actually have to become humble, right? In your weakness, right? Recognizing that even though we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays through you. What is the prayer of the Holy Ghost? Great question, Dave. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. He's actually identifying two people in that scripture. He, meaning the high priest, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So you have Christ seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding day and night, waiting for you to align with him. Why does he give you his Holy Spirit? To align with him. And when you surrender to your to a supernatural prayer life, the gift of tongues actually aligns with the heart of Christ. And it says that the mind of the Spirit, which knows your heart, your issue, right, is revealed by Christ who's searching your heart. That's like an unstoppable, like, set of friends, man. That's why you can start walking through cities and say, I'm a bad man. See, when you get the revelation, you are a bad dude. You are one of the baddest dudes on the planet. And your enemy has convinced and done everything in your former parent, your bloodline, your parents, demonized you and done everything possible to keep you from finding out who you are. When you really get the revelation that you've been given the dominant power of the Holy Ghost, everything in here was a manufacture of prayer. Everything we've done the last 3 days was a alignment with what the Lord wanted to do and an expectation that God was going to make revival happen in this place. One guy can change a city. You don't believe me? You can change a city. You see, you have to have the revelation that you will carry the move when everybody around you gets tired. When everybody around you doesn't have the revelation, you will still carry the prayer life. You will still get up at 2 o'clock and push and break and push and break. These exercises we've been doing in praying in the Holy Ghost, and God shows up, people are shaking and trembling and tears are coming out people's faces. You have to carry that at all costs, and it will cost you. Jesus said, foxes have holes, right? Right? The creatures have places to lay your head, but I am the Son of God. I have no place. You know why? Because his purpose was the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost was moving him everywhere. He was willing to be blown by the wind of God to release revival everywhere he went. He was the revival. When you become the revival, the wind will blow you. Say this, say, Holy Ghost, I'm going to surrender to my basement, where revival will come upon my life. You and I are going to pray. We are going to enter into purpose together. Revival will happen in my home. Revival will happen in my extended family. Demons are going to fly out of my brothers and sisters. Demons are going to fly out of my dad. Demons are going to fly out of my mom. Demons are going to fly out of my friends, all everybody around me. Demons are going to fly out of them. Because I have your nature. I am a judge of Satan. You realize I'm saying some pretty bold things. What do you mean? We're supposed to be afraid of Satan. That is the revelation. Your foot is on Satan's neck. So why would you fear? Because you know why? Because if you're positioned in Christ, the foot is on the neck. If you're not in the anointing, Christ means the anointing, by the way, right? If you're in the anointing, you are in all authority. But if you are in fear, if you have surrendered to anxiety, if you've surrendered to depression, right? Then you are in the wrong spirit. Something has enslaved you and captured you, right? Say this with me. Say, Jesus, Deliver you.
Deliver me.
And I'll give you my full heart. Come on, set me free, Holy Ghost.
Set me free, Holy Ghost.
I want to be the revival you called me to be. So likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness with a groan, praying the perfect will of God. You see, first you have to surrender to the power of the gift that's been given to you. Amen? Surrendering to the way of the Spirit. Not just playing church once in a while. Thanks, brother. Not just playing church a couple times a week, getting together with your friends. That's cool stuff. What is actually the important stuff is the intercession. Amen? It's the intercession. Will you pray? Jesus, throughout the four Gospels, will you just pray with me 1 hour? Will you just pray with me? Pete, where are you at? Pete, I thought you were right here. Can you picture Pete? Say this, say, Jesus, get the Pete out of me. That's right, baby. Come on. Come on, get the Pete out of me. You see, when you surrender, something will happen to you. You will get discernment. The most powerful gift there is the gift of tongues. It's the awakening. It's the birthing of the Spirit in you. It's where you first learn a spiritual walk instead of the way you walk. The second most powerful gift is what causes you to be supernatural in the gift of prophecy, words of knowledge, and all the gifts that come out. And that is the gift of spiritual discernment. If you don't discern something properly, you won't recognize the vision and the intent of what the Lord is showing you. There's actually two types, or there's two elements of prophecy and words of knowledge that flow through vision, okay? When the Lord shows you the vision, that's the awakening, okay? You're awakened to recognize the Lord is talking to you. It's His voice. The more important part is the interpretation. What is the Lord actually saying? And am I speaking out of His heart? Because people can get the right vision, and it is from God, but they speak out of the wrong spirit. They speak something condemning because they're still religious instead of a deliverance orientation. Okay? Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I want your heart so that I can prophesy with power, that I would discern correctly, that I would establish people in the identity you wrote about them, and that I would drive out their demons in Jesus' name. And so Jesus, it says in Isaiah 11, right? The sevenfold Spirit of God rested on Jesus. Spirit of counsel, right? Spirit of might, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of intimacy. That's what knowledge is. It's not book knowledge. It's actually the root word yada. It means intimate. It means out of intimacy, he feared God more than he feared the world. There was nothing that Jesus feared more than his Father. And that word fear is not what you would interpret as like a trembling fear. It's actually the word honor, that you would go anywhere his voice sends you, that you would trust him in the darkest place on earth, that you would actually be so oriented to the presence and the voice of God that he would make you fearless. That's actually what that word means. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, make me intimate with you. I give you permission to call me to be intimate with you, that I would walk in the fear of the Lord, that demons would fear me like they feared you. You see, when a son and daughter know who they really are, your enemy fears when you walk in the room. They do, man. Can't be stopped. Cannot be stopped. And it says that Jesus did not judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. It says that he judged with the gift of true discernment. He discerned the will of God. So connecting the dots, Paul said, I wish that you all prayed in tongues, even more that you prophesied. Why is that? The intent of praying in the Spirit is that you grow spiritually and you learn to hear the voice of the Lord. You then get to be the gate and release heaven on earth when you prophesy, when you release a word of knowledge. And the evidence that God is on your words is that deliverance, equipping, people are equipped in the power of the Holy Ghost. They get baptized in fire, right? People get healed, right? That's a work of God. That's not a work of you. So discerning is a key next step that you would actually judge out of properly discerning. Amen? So first is surrender. Then you're sharpening, your sword is sharpened through discernment and it begins to cut like a knife. Amen? And so real quickly here before we get into our exercise this afternoon, Mark 9, there was a lot of deliverance up here. A lot of people had questions afterward. And I want to talk about some of the deliverance, even some of the deliverance you saw this morning. Mark 9, Jesus is on the mount. He's on the mountain, right? Peter, John, and James see him transfigured. He's coming down off the mountain. And while Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter, John, and James, the rest of the disciples are literally down below at the bottom of the mountain. They're bringing deliverance to people. People are getting healed. All kind of stuff is happening. And Jesus, Peter, James, and John walk onto the scene. And picking up here, verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and they could not cast it out." So the description of that spirit is actually the word, it's where we get the word epilepsy. The child had epilepsy. He throws himself into fire. And, you know, the world will just drug a person like that and try to deal with their seizures. And Jesus is saying epilepsy is a spirit. Right? He's saying epilepsy is a spirit. Okay? Epilepsy is a spirit. Epilepsy is a spirit. There's all kind of stuff in the Bible, right? The woman with bent over, right? 18 years, it said she had a spirit of infirmity, right? Jesus was casting a deaf-mute spirit out of the boy in Luke 11, and the Pharisees started mocking him, right? So the ability to hear in this situation and speak was stopped by a demonic spirit. And if you have children that couldn't talk in the first 2, 3, 4 years of their life? Come on, we had one of those. You know what we found out? That demon had to come out. Yeah. That generational curse had to be broken. And that child is now, that child is now prophesying and casting out demons and bringing vengeance on the kingdom of darkness. Because we were able to discern, even though the doctors were saying that our child couldn't speak and she might have a speech impediment the rest of her life, we were awakened by the Holy Ghost to start praying. And when we started praying, that demon started manifesting and that demon came out. Come on, a lot of you have tolerated, my son can't have a demon. That would like make me look really bad. Come on, man. Chock full. There's more critters than you think out there. More critters than you think. And so, why couldn't they cast it out, right? Jesus, these disciples come and say, they come to Jesus and say, "Your disciples could not cast it out," right? Jesus answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. We've had a few foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And the father says, "Help my unbelief." So Jesus could have turned to the boy and say, "Come out." But Jesus didn't address the boy first. Jesus addresses the father. He's addressing a curse. Okay? He's addressing something in the bloodline that the Father has to surrender to. Okay? He's asking Jesus for deliverance. He's asking for help. Help my unbelief, right? So as soon as Jesus gets a heart change from the Father, the next thing that happens is Jesus now turns to the boy. Okay? When Jesus saw that the people, I'm sorry, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit out of the boy, saying to it, "Deaf, dumb spirit, come out. I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" I had people last night saying, "Hey, man, we had demons coming out of people. They just came out just like that." There were other things that it took some time. They took some fighting, right? They took some people with a heart who wouldn't quit till you got the demon out. Amen. Deliverance. I've been in places where authority is this strange thing where you just walk up, you're supposed to just say, "Come out," and that demon has to come out, and they turn around and walk away like it's done, and the person's sitting there, nothing happened. You see, you have to reach in and grab hold of that thing. And sometimes you have this struggle, you have this fight. That doesn't mean you don't have authority. Okay, that means you have to work to get it out. Jesus says this. He says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. You see, part of your intercession is investing in praying for the saints, praying for the people. But prayer and fasting is a higher level of investment, baby. You see, when you start praying, when you start doing 3-day water-only fast, praying 20 hours during those 3 days in the Holy Ghost, and you start having visitations and you start getting revelation, Jesus starts downloading abilities to you and saying, "Hey, on Friday night when you go to that church thing, there's going to be a guy in a blue shirt. He's been tormented for 10 years. There's a demon named XYZ, and I want you to get it out of him." That's what happens when you start fasting and praying. He starts identifying specific things for you to actually minister and pull out. And your confidence comes that the Lord actually sent you to do it. Right? But the cool thing about this is Jesus said, he's actually saying there's degrees of strength. There's degrees of growth in the spirit. There's rankings and abilities in God's kingdom that you have to fast into. There are different degrees of surrender. There are different degrees of you entering your call. Okay? There are different degrees of a heart that is willing to do whatever Christ asked them to do, right? I had a crazy wild friend. You need a crazy wild friend in your life, okay? His name was Chris. He was one of those guys that he was in the military. He trained people in combat. He trained people for special forces combat. So he was a little loco anyway, right? And he got baptized in the Holy Ghost within about 12 months of the same time I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the same town, and we hooked up. And dude, we were crazy. I mean, we would pray things like, "Lord, we want to see 1,000 demons come out in the next 6 months. We want to see 1,000 people baptized in fire. Lord, come on." I mean, and we would pray. We would call a fast, and we would say, "We're doing a 7-day water-only fast." We would plan events. We would plan Friday night events. We'd have 100, 150 people, and we would pray and fast for a week leading up. I mean, sometimes we'd spend 3 to 6 hours a day praying in tongues. We would fast, water-only fast for 3 days, 7 days leading up to the event, okay? And suddenly the event comes and everybody's praying in the Holy Ghost and there's people. Can you picture 100 people flopping around the floor like fish, demons coming out of people? And word gets out. I mean, we had people coming from, Columbus down to West Virginia, from Pittsburgh. I mean, we had people coming from all over the place because we were crazy in the Holy Ghost. We started praying and fasting, and deliverance broke out. Okay? And so Jesus said this kind doesn't come out without prayer and fasting. The degree of which you give your heart to the call will correlate to the amount of deliverance and the awakening you can bring to the people around you. I look at people all around here, and in my mind, I know they're chock full of critters. Okay? And the Spirit of God has to rest on a person, and it actually grows, right? He says, this kind doesn't come out except for prayer and fasting. What does the Holy Ghost do when he comes? He judges Satan. Okay? So whenever you surrender to what the purpose of the Holy Ghost is, which is to bring deliverance, the Holy Ghost has to bring deliverance. Baptized in fire and deliverance are synonymous. Deliverance and the baptism of fire is part of the rocket ship that literally shoots you into your assignment. And if you don't learn it properly, you'll get religious again. But if you keep it simple and keep it to prayer, fasting, and reliance on the Holy Spirit, then it's you and the Holy Ghost on a mission to bring deliverance. Amen? So last night there was these questions. Why did this deliverance last 2 hours? Why did it last an hour and a half, right? And this girl over here or that girl over there, they end up, you know, somebody said, come out. 5 minutes later, we got people laughing, joys all over them, okay? There's different degrees. There's different rankings. There's princes, right? There's ruling spirits. There's powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Those are all what I call air level ranks, okay? Then you have these, what I call earth walkers, the demons that crawl around, the critters that take ownership of different aspects of your life, okay? Some of those suckers come out easy. Other of those require prayer and fasting. You got any deliverance ministers in here? Every hand should be up. That was a rhetorical, tongue-in-cheek question. It wasn't a tricky one. Do I have any deliverance ministers in here? Are you willing to do what Christ is asking you to do? Because I don't know if you get this, but this came through loud and clear in me last night, through the night, as I was thinking about what we're doing today. This is about an awakening of a deliverance ministry. You don't park yourself across from a methadone clinic and think your assignment isn't deliverance. Come on, church. You are deliverance ministers. You are to be so close with the Holy Ghost that you know your first assignment is to judge darkness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Say it with me. Holy Ghost, I will surrender to prayer and fasting to see your glory on the earth, to bring deliverance to my city, to bring deliverance to my family, to bring deliverance everywhere I go, in Jesus' name. That music that I had on last night, could you put that back on? Not that one. That's too gentle. No piano. I'm not a piano guy. What's that? People are saying, I thought this was about the awakening of the gifts of the Spirit. This is about the awakening of the gifts of the Spirit. Do you realize that Ephesians 2 says that the prince of the power of the air, right? It blinds the hearts of men. The degree of the awakening of the gifts of the Spirit in you are directly correlated to the demons coming out of you.
Say Say that again.
I don't know if I can repeat that. That wasn't me. The degree of the awakening of the gifts of the Spirit in you are directly correlated to the demonic powers that are driven out of you.
Yes.
Demonic powers blind the heart. They keep you from hearing God. You know why? They fear you hearing God. And one of the greatest gifts you have, like I said, is your surrender to praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost breaks through what you alone can't break through. That's why your prayer life is foundational as a deliverance minister. There you go. My God, he's a miracle worker. Go, Bob. Go, Bob. I know you guys have surrendered. Man, I know you surrendered. This is not a normal thing. This is number 6 in not even 2 days. Right? But I believe the Lord wants to cleanse his people. He wants to saturate you in the fire of the Holy Ghost. He wants you so sold out that after you have deliverance, when that thing comes back, it won't have any power over you because you've surrendered. Amen? Say this with me. Say, Holy Ghost, I give you permission to search my heart right now. Expose every curse that is still working in my life. Expose every demonic power, every ruling spirit, every fallen prince that has me on a puppet string, that manipulates anxiety in my heart, that manipulates fear, that manipulates depression. I am not afraid, Jesus. That is the Spirit manipulating me. Come on. I am not afraid, Jesus. I believe you make me courageous. I will not surrender to the fear anymore. I will not be lethargic and normal anymore. I am your burning one. Come on, I am your burning one. Jesus, I am the one who believes. I am the one who believes. Come on, every unclean spirit, leave me now. I take authority over every curse. And I say, the blood has washed me clean. Curse. You have no right. Every demonic power hiding behind a curse, I uproot you now in Jesus' name. I command you to go. I am delivered by the blood of Christ. I am not a slave. I am not a slave. I'm not a slave of fear. I'm not a slave of being normal. I'm not a slave of what my friends think. I'm not a slave of anxiety. I'm not a slave of depression. I am your burning one. Every demon hiding in a curse, come out now in Jesus' name. Come on, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on, I curse you, Satan. The Lord has judged you cursed. And I invoke that curse.
For more information or to request David at your church or conference, please go to davidcuppett.org, davidcuppett.org, or 5stoneministries.org. You can also find the School of the Holy Spirit podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Charisma Magazine. For a deeper dive into the Holy Spirit, we encourage you to purchase David's new book entitled Wisdom-Filled Warriors, available on Amazon. We pray that you will encounter the Holy Spirit in a transforming way and become all that Christ has prophesied over your life.